Okay.
I'll have you come up.
Okay.
All right, we're going to get started here. Everybody, please come in and take a seat.
The Intolerance of Tolerance, this paradoxical title. It's the title of a book by D.A. Carson I heartily recommend. Because the word tolerance, there's kind of a shell game that's been played with the word tolerance today. There's a lot of intolerance being practiced in the name of tolerance. But that's a little heavy. That's a little serious. I'd rather, go off topic for a minute and just talk about America and our society and look at a cultural artifact you might have heard of, the welcome mat. Does anyone have any welcome mats, like maybe at your house or place of business? You see these everywhere. Welcome mat. Glad you could make it, buddy. No, seriously, this welcome mat. We see them everywhere to, wipe your feet and to, help people feel welcome. Hey, welcome. You're always welcome. Come by anytime. We've got an open door policy. The door's always open. Come by anytime. We'll even say it in different languages. All the languages of the world. Love in every language. Thoroughly spoken here. You can just come in anytime you want. Please feel welcome. Our door is always open. And yet, you drive down the street, you notice most of the doors aren't open most of the time. They're usually closed, locked, deadbolted, alarmed. It's not really an open door policy. Maybe what we really need is a not welcome mat. It's more honest. It's more honest. Not everyone's welcome. Maybe we need a really, really honest welcome mat to have. So that's really how, people feel. Maybe certain people are welcome that have met certain conditions. There are certain criteria for entry. Maybe very special, even supernatural criteria for entry. Only certain people that can come in. Maybe certain people aren't welcome. This one says, tell dishonest lenders they're not welcome when they push their scams on you. So you're welcome, but after you wipe your feet, we want you to go out there and find these other people and tell them that they're not welcome. So, you know, if someone's name is Fanny or Freddie or something like that, they're not welcome to come in here. But I guess if you're a vampire, you know, you can come in. It's a strange world. Maybe a more aggressive not welcome mat. Maybe very aggressive not welcome mat. They might take you to the mat at this particular place. Maybe we need a not welcome mat beside the welcome mat. You know, because some people are welcome and some people just aren't. That's just the way it is. But who are we to judge, really? I mean, aren't we the same way at our house? I mean, you would welcome these lovable little scamps, these trick-or-treaters coming, right? You'd open your door for them. You might not open your door to this trick-or-treater. I mean, you would probably welcome this lovable little Girl Scout selling her cookies. You might even invite her in and ask her how she's doing at school, because that's what adults do. We always ask how you're doing in school because we don't know what else to ask you. So that's what we ask. You'd be glad to have her come inside. You might not welcome this person into your house. After all, she is a pirate. I mean, she's got that mean look on her face, that malicious gleam in her eye. She's armed. She's tatted up. Presumably, she follows some kind of pirate code. But they're more like guidelines, you know, if you remember. But so you might not invite her in. Not really safe. And if you're diabetic or trying to lose some weight, maybe you don't want to invite her in either. Just for your own health and safety. But if you do invite her in, you better buy the cookies. Just for your own health and safety. That's all I'm saying. So that's, you know, kind of how it is. Every household kind of has its rules. Traditionally, there's a head of household. Traditionally, that's usually the father, but not always. But there's an adult head of household that basically establishes the rules for that household. And sometimes those are posted on the fridge. You know, there's some rules. There's some expectations. There's some guidelines about how you talk to one another within the home, how you act within the home, and who's welcome in the home, and what times of day they're welcome to come by. That's usually set up by the adult authority figure in that home. And that's how things are typically done. But there's some other authorities, some outside authorities that can influence the house. The nosy neighbors, you know, Mrs. Kravitz could be over there watching and looking. You wonder what Mrs. Grundy might say, you know, about how things are done in your household. And there are other ways that, you know, community standards are enforced. There might be, you know, there's neighborhood kind of expectations, maybe the dreaded home owners association, you know, that they have their standards of how things should be done in the household. And then the nosy neighbor might call other outside authorities, like local law enforcement, that might come by, might want to ask a few questions. You have higher levels of law enforcement, and they're not going to really ask questions at this point. They'll do that at the station house. If you're able, you know, to really speak for yourself at that point, but they don't really care if the welcome mat is out. They're going to enter on their own terms. There's higher authorities than that. You might get the feds. You might get another kind of feds coming in, and they don't really care if the welcome mat is out. They're probably not going to wipe their feet, and they don't care if the door is locked. They're coming in on their own terms. So some things are welcome, some people are welcome, and some people aren't. And we don't welcome everybody all the time. Do we welcome every idea? We don't. Certain ideas are welcome and some aren't. And that's where the whole area of toleration comes in. Do we tolerate every idea? I mean, it's said as if we're supposed to. You know, we're throwing out this idea of tolerance and toleration. It's not a very nuanced conversation oftentimes. But this is some audience participation. Would you guys welcome these two into your home? These guys, I think it is it's Prince William, right? Prince William and Prince Harry, or members of One Direction. I'm not really sure. But I think they would be well behaved if you welcome them into your home. And when they're ready to leave, they would just politely Brexit and be out of your home. Would you welcome this person into your home? A little uncertainty in the crowd. Okay. What about this person? Would you welcome her into your home? Okay, mixed reaction. What about this person? She's starting to look a little better now, isn't she? You know, you've kind of done another risk assessment. She might be not so bad. But tolerance is kind of a similar idea of everyone talks about we need to be open-minded and tolerant and accepting of all people, all views, all ideas. But do we really tolerate all views and all ideas? Does anyone? This is usually how it's broken down in black and white. Tolerance, good. Good people are tolerant. Tolerance is right. Intolerance, bad. Bad people are intolerant. Intolerance, it's wrong. But is it really that black and white? Is it really that simple? For example, we've already had mentioned already today Martin Luther King Jr. Would you consider him a champion of tolerance? Or was he, as Josh McDowell, Christian apologist, has suggested, was he sort of a champion of intolerance? The American South was full of segregation. It was full of the Jim Crow laws. And he was not willing to tolerate that. He thought it should change. Here he is. There was a cross burned on his front lawn. He's pulling it out of the ground. One of his books is called Why We Can't Wait. The United States of America could not wait. We couldn't wait any longer to make those changes, to change the Jim Crow laws in the South. And that was kind of the impetus of the civil rights movement. So he wasn't tolerant of the status quo in the South. In fact, you might say he was intolerant of it. And the rules of the household, as it were, in the American South, did have these unjust laws. So he appealed to a higher authority. He was a Baptist minister. He's pointing to the Bible. He's pointing to natural law. And those are the traditions that formed the United States. He was pointing to the Declaration of Independence. He was pointing to the Constitution and saying something isn't right here. There are natural human rights granted to us by nature and nature's God, the God of the Bible. And the laws in the South aren't reflecting those natural human rights. So he's appealing to a higher law than the law. And if it sounds like that's kind of my spin or my gloss on his thinking, read one of the great works of American literature, The Letter from Birmingham Jail, that Martin Luther King wrote, and he outlines this whole argument that he made. So, with peaceful protest and soaring oratory, some of the greatest speaking in American history, he really made a case, a nonviolent case appealing to these higher authorities. But could you really say he was tolerant of all views, of all practices? Or was he in fact intolerant? Doesn't tolerance or intolerance depend on the moral authority of the household? Tolerance is actually patience toward a practice or opinion that one disapproves of. Tolerance presupposes disagreement. That's part of the definition. The National Rifle Association doesn't tolerate the Second Amendment. They support it. Planned Parenthood doesn't tolerate abortion. They promote it. Those are things they agree with. We can only tolerate things that we disagree with. That's part of the definition. And some of these principles on tolerance are in Brad Stetson and Joseph Conte's book, The Truth About Tolerance, great book on the topic. Tolerance is inevitably connected with disagreement and moral evaluation. It's a moral category. You're having to evaluate, should we tolerate this or shouldn't we tolerate it? Much in the same way at your front door, you evaluate, is this someone that's welcome to come in our home right now or not welcome? Tolerance always has limits. So as we look at it, no one tolerates everything. And the political philosopher Leo Strauss has a great quote on this. He says, absolute tolerance is altogether impossible. He goes on to say, the allegedly absolute tolerance turns into ferocious hatred of those who have stated clearly and most forcefully that there are unchangeable standards founded in the nature of man and the nature of things. So this is a 20th century political philosopher, not actually a Christian, that is pointing this out. So there are certain limits on tolerance. No one tolerates everything. And tolerance always has a context. Kind of like that household under a head of household. There's always a venue, a context, and there's always an authority over that venue that kind of decides what's going to be tolerated and what isn't going to be tolerated. I was visiting a friend of mine, a Taiwanese friend of mine, and he expected me to take my shoes off when I came into the house. It's just, hey, that's what you do. You don't want to track everything in from the outside. The shoes are what you wear outside. There were certain expectations in that household that might not apply to another household. There's always a context. There's always a venue. And the authority over that venue is going to decide what's tolerated and what isn't. An example of context is, you know, what might be acceptable or tolerable in your living room might not be tolerated at your sister's wedding. Don't ask how I know. But we worked it out. So true tolerance involves patience toward things we disapprove of. It involves disagreement. It involves moral evaluation. It involves limits and context. And so Christians are often accused today of being intolerant because we're not affirming certain lifestyles or certain beliefs. But that's, once again, it's a black and white kind of look at a more complicated issue, and we should be calling people out on it, because tolerance is presupposing this moral standard and this moral authority, and we need to push back when we're accused of being intolerant and encouraged to be tolerant of what do people mean when they say that we're intolerant or that we need to be tolerant? What moral standard or moral authority are they appealing to? And so it's a much deeper conversation, and I think these are things we can keep in mind and take as we go out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
All right.
What is the time?
Kevin is another one of my best friends. He's been part of the Apologetics Research Society for about the past 10 years. Kevin has a master's in counseling. His specialty is cultural apologetics. And he's going to speak on a topic which has raised significant issues in Christianity, which is the question of abortion. And I'll tell you ahead of time, when you listen to this talk, it's going to be maybe not exactly what you expected, because if I'm not mistaken, Kevin will not be using the Bible as part of his argument, right? So Ted is going to make a purely ethical argument regarding abortion that you can engage with somebody whether they're a believer in Christianity or not. So I welcome Kedren Jones.